Happy Mother's Day. I'm reading from Proverbs chapter 1, chapter 2 and chapter 3. And if you'd like to follow along in the Pew Bibles, it's page 617. Chapter 1 is verses 8 and 9. Listen, my son, to your father's instruction. And do not forsake your mother's teaching. They will be a garland to grace your head and a chain to adorn your neck. Then chapter 2, 1 to 10. My son, if you accept my words and store up my commands within you, turning your ear to wisdom and applying your heart to understanding, and if you cry out for insight and cry aloud for understanding, and if you look for it as for silver, and search for it as for hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom, and from his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. He holds victory in store for the upright. He is a shield to those whose walk is blameless. For he guards the course of the just and protects the way of his faithful ones. Then chapter 3, 1 to 6. My son, do not forget my teaching, but keep my commands in your heart, for they will prolong your life many years and bring you prosperity. Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the table of your heart. Then you will win favor and a good name in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will make your paths straight.
Thank you to one of the mothers in my life. I'm so glad that my message today is linked into Mother's Day, because it's a very important time to remember the value and the blessing of having mothers. And for those who they didn't really know their mother, or their mother wasn't right up there as others have talked of their mom. We know that God is like a mother, as a mother cares for her children. So the Lord has compassion and care for those who belong to him, who fear him. And so the Bible talks about that. And in this book that we've started, in the book of Proverbs, just last week, the introduction, and now we're moving into looking at wisdom, because that's what the book of Proverbs is all about. And we learn from our mothers wisdom, don't we? We have done, and not just from our mothers, but from our grandmothers and grandfathers. So let me just get my iPad. Hang on. Skills for living is the idea behind the word of wisdom that is the theme right through the book of Proverbs. And the skill for living is something that you learn so often from, or so much from, your mother and your father. And so the book talks about areas that there's no commands for. In the Bible you have commands, you shall and shall not do these things, but the book of Proverbs actually goes between those commandments and deals with issues that you cannot even command. Common sense things. And also, it's what the law can't prescribe is what the book of Proverbs deals with. We had visiting friends when we were young parents, and our children were like 5 and 7, something like that. And we were having a bit of a rough time as in trying to parent them, and strong-willed and running around, and we had challenges. We really did. And we seemed to be always on their case, always telling them off, always disciplining them, or pulling them aside, or sending them to their room, or whatever. And after we had visiting friends who stayed with us for a few days, and at the end they said to us, in a quiet moment, a learning experience for us, pulled us aside and said, "Listen, choose your battles." Now, there's no prescription in the Bible to say you should choose your battles. That's just wisdom. That's common sense. Because if you make a battle out of every single thing that your children are doing, you pull your hair out, and they'll end up negative and rebelling and so on. You need to choose your battles. So let those things go and deal with the things that are real issues that really need to be dealt with. And that little pearl of wisdom stayed with us right through our parenting from that point on. And we often say to each other, "Choose your battles." Yeah, right. Let's just let that one go. Hey, it was so, you know, that's what he's talking about here in the book of Proverbs. It's wisdom. It's common sense. Somebody said, or quipped, "Common sense isn't as common as it used to be." And so I've entitled my message today, "Listening to Mom and Dad," or if you like, "Listening to Grandmom and Granddad." Because we all have that influence, or learning wisdom from Mom and Dad. Somebody also quipped, "Virtue was learned at my mother's knee." Is that right? "Virtue was learned at my mother's knee. Vices at some other joint." So learning wisdom from Mom and Dad. Mothers and fathers are mentioned through the book here 12 times, mums and dads, in the same verse, in a parallel way that they used to write back in Hebrew at that time. Talking about dad, then talking about mum in the same verse. So parenting was a very real part of this book. The wisdom of Solomon. Solomon was a wise man, and he wrote this book to his son. It ended up that Rehoboam was not a very wise man. We'll look at that next week as we look at the portrait of a fool. Solomon saw, as his son was getting older, that his son needed some instruction. So he sat down and wrote the majority of the book of Proverbs for his son, but also written under the inspiration of the Spirit of God for all people, including us here today. And then 18 times in these first 9 chapters, we have him writing, "My son, my son, my son, my son." That's generic. Son, daughter, is not the point. The point is he was writing to his own son, and trying to, in the first 9 chapters, stimulate him to want to be wise, to seek for wisdom. And then through the rest of the book to state what is wise in life to pursue. So the whole point, first of all, is that listen, he says, to your father's instruction. Listen to what I'm saying to you about gaining wisdom. The first thing is that you've got to seek wisdom. He says in chapter 2, verse 1, "If you accept my words and store up my commands within you, turning your ear to wisdom and applying your heart to understanding, if you call out for insight and cry aloud for understanding and look for it as for silver and search for it as for hidden treasure." He's talking about a motivation internally that he would hope would be within his son that would seek wisdom. Parents have a huge impact on the bringing up of their children, and grandparents do too. And my mother would sit with me, would pray with me. My mum was a prayer warrior. And everything we faced as a family, she would pray about. And she taught me the wisdom of bringing it to God. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not rely on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him and He will make your path straight. It's something I learnt at my mother's knee, literally, from the way she prayed and taught me the power and the importance of prayer. That's just one aspect, which if I had not had a mother who did that, the value of prayer to me would not have been anything like it is today or has been through my life. And so creating in me a desire to be wise is something that my mother did, I trust, because I'm not all that wise. I haven't always been all that wise. In fact, in my teenage years, when I turned away from God and I did stupid things, my mother would be always praying for me and telling me that she's praying for me. And so I knew that she was praying, and all that time it affected the way I responded to life and knew that I would be coming back to God at some point, which I did. So he talks here about having, first of all, a teachable heart to listen. And that's something that you can inculcate into children. The importance of listening, sitting down with them, and if they're going to be doing something, or they were doing something that has implications that will affect them, the consequences like Clover just talked about earlier, and understanding that if you do that, if you run out on the road chasing that ball, there's consequences. Cars don't see you. You'll get knocked over. You'll be dead. You know, helping a child to learn wisdom. You can't do that just by being not involved and engaged with your child. You have to sit down with them, spend time with them, and inculcate that into their lives, and try and stir within them a teachable heart. Chapter 19, verse 20 in Proverbs says, "Listen to advice and accept instruction, and in the end you will be wise." Teaching a child to take advice, to listen, and to learn. And then a seeking heart. The real evidence of a real desire is to seek it for yourself. It's no mistake that the first 9 chapters of this book are written to motivate his son to seek wisdom, to be wise. 9 chapters of, is it 31 chapters? Yeah, 31 chapters, and 9 of those are devoted to motivation. And you read the first 9 chapters, it is full of it. Wisdom will be a garland to grace your head and a chain to adorn your neck. Blessed is the person who finds wisdom, the person who gains understanding. Wisdom is more profitable than silver and yields better returns than gold. She's more precious than rubies, and nothing you desire can compare with her. Long life does she has in her right hand, and so on and so on. All the way through the first 9 chapters. Saying to his son, you need to seek it. It's something so vital for life. The second thing we find here is finding wisdom. Wisdom that Solomon was talking about was wisdom related to God. He wasn't talking about just straight worldly wisdom of just common sense. There was a linkage to God and the fear of the Lord. In the book of Proverbs, the concept of wisdom is this, that God is the creator. And He has made the earth, and He has made humans and animals and all of creation, and God knows what is best. And so wisdom is finding out what is the right way to relate to others around us and with the world that we're in. I designed and built this world. It's as if he said that. And the people in it. So I know what is best and what is and what to do when something goes wrong. So in the early years or days of the motor vehicle, the Model T Ford was well known. There was a guy who was driving one of these, and it stalled on the side of the road, and he got out and tried to crank it, and it wouldn't start. And another car pulled up, another Ford. And a guy jumped out, and he was a wiry, energetic guy, and he lifted the bonnet. Is that what you call it? The hood. Yeah. We call it the bonnet. Anyway, he lifted the bonnet, he lifted the hood, and he fiddled around, and he put it down, and he gave it another crank, and it started just like that. And this guy was amazed. He said, "Oh, that's fantastic. Thank you." And then he realized, he found out that this was actually Henry Ford himself. And he said, "I designed and built these cars," he said, "so I know what to do when something goes wrong." And that was an interesting story. And it's like that with God and His wisdom, that He has created the order of the universe and the whole human race. And so He knows that, for instance, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, as we saw last week, that the foundation for building a life of wisdom, a wise life, is a fear of the Lord, is to honor and respect, to love and to follow the Lord. So the fear of the Lord. Then we have learning from Him, and you find here in chapter 2, notice what He says. He says, "If you accept my words and store up my commands, turning your ear to wisdom," then it says in verse 5, "you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God." So if you listen to my words, Solomon says to his son, if you are really willing to learn wisdom, then you will find the fear, or you'll understand the fear of the Lord. There's a linkage there. And you'll find the knowledge of God. For, he says, the Lord gives wisdom. So the wise parent is not just giving common sense wisdom without God. The wise parent undergirds it with a fear of the Lord and an understanding that we need to hear what God has to say from His Word and also by His Spirit. So the fear of the Lord. But then we find in chapter 3 to trust in the Lord. Now we know this verse, or these two verses, so well. Probably it is the most commonly quoted verse from the book of Proverbs. "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight." This is written again in the context of saying, my son, if you want to learn wisdom, then this is the second thing you need to do. Not just fear the Lord, but you need to trust in the Lord. And again, my mother comes immediately to mind. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Live your life relying on Him. It says, "do not rely on your own insight," is one version of this verse 5. Do not lean on your own understanding. Do not rely on your own insight. You have your own understanding of things and your own insight, but don't rely on that. Trust in the Lord. And then it says, "in all your ways acknowledge Him," or submit to Him, respect Him, live in the light of His guidance. And then it says, "He will make your path straight." And again, as I mentioned last week, all the way through this book, He presents two paths. And even in these first few chapters, the path of the righteous and the path of the sinful person. The path of the righteous, or the path of the wise person, is what He's putting forward here. For instance, verse 20 of the previous chapter, where it says, "Thus you will walk in the ways of good men and keep to the paths of the righteous." And then he talks about the wicked person back in verse 15, whose paths are crooked and who are devious in their ways. And so all the way through here, he's emphasizing the pathway of wisdom, So he says, if you trust in the Lord with all your heart and don't rely on your own insight, acknowledging God, then he will make your paths straight. You will be wise in your pathway through life. And thirdly, to accept discipline. In this chapter 3, we read, my son, do not despise the Lord's discipline or resent his rebuke, because the Lord disciplines those he loves as a father the son he delights in. So God is in the mix. It's not just parenting. It is the fear of the Lord, trusting in the Lord, and recognizing God's hand of discipline in our lives. Now, that sometimes comes through a parent's discipline, but it's God in charge of the circumstances and using those circumstances to actually mold us, to affect our lives, to change us, to change our attitudes, to change our lifestyle. And God is involved with us in that. So, accepting the Lord's discipline. My last point is to enjoy wisdom. As you look through these first few chapters, you find again and again the presentation of Solomon to his son was, hey, wisdom is good for you. Sometimes we have a view of God that is incorrect. God wants us to be happy. God's desire is that we would be joyful, that we would be happy, that we would enjoy life. He created us in that way. He put us in a world full of beauty. And if you take sin out of the world, you've got an amazing place and amazing relationships. Everything that's good comes from God. And he wants us to be happy. But the problem with sin is sin presents another way to find happiness, independent of God. And it doesn't work. It talks in the Bible about the pleasures of sin, which are only for a season. There may be a little thrill, there may be some joy and happiness initially, but ultimately sin brings death and brings discouragement and brings hurt and pain. God's way is for us to enjoy life. And so let me read some of these to you. When you follow wisdom, it'll be a grace, a garland to grace your head and a chain to adorn your neck. And it says in verse 33 of chapter 1, whoever listens to me will live in safety and be at ease from fear of harm. Verse 11 of the next chapter, discretion will protect you and understanding will guard you. And verse 21, the upright will live in the land and the blameless will remain in it. For they, in verse 2 of the next chapter, they will prolong your life. That is, the commands and the wisdom will prolong your life many years and bring you prosperity. You will win favor and a good name in the sight of God and men. And so you can go on and on. So much in these verses that encourage us to seek wisdom, because we're meant to enjoy life, and that is the way to enjoy life. My mother, and I'll finish with this, my mother, I remember her for one, especially about one thing about her. She used to go around the house singing all the time. She was joyful. She had an amazing relationship with the Lord, and she'd sing these hymns and songs. In fact, I used to have her on a bit. I knew the songs that she'd sing, and so occasionally when she wasn't singing, I would start whistling one of the tunes. She used to sing Down From His Glory, Ever-Living Story. You know that song? Down from His glory, ever-living story, my God and Savior came. I'll leave it there. But that brings back memories of my mum. But I would whistle that. And sure enough, I just whistle a little bit of it and then I'd stop and wait. And sure enough, in a little while, she would start singing that song. So I used to have a bit of fun there. But she was joyful. She was a wise, warm woman, but she enjoyed life. She didn't have a lot of money. In fact, we were very, very tight as a family financially. And there were a lot of things. There were a number of things that could have burdened her, but she was joyful, which is what God wants us to be. And that's why wisdom is encouraged by Solomon to his son, so that when we walk in the way of wisdom, it brings joy and happiness. God blesses in that area. Let's sing the final song.